Okay, so to John, the elder, to the lady chosen by God and to her children, whom I love in the truth, and not I only, but also all who know the truth, because of the truth which lives in us and will be with us forever. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and from Jesus Christ, the Father's Son, will be with us in truth and love. It has given me great joy to find some of your children walking in the truth, just as the Father commanded us. And now, dear lady, I am not writing to you a new command, but one we have had from the beginning. I ask that we love one another, and this is love, that we walk in obedience to his commands. As you have heard from the beginning, his command is that you walk in love. I say this because many deceivers who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh have gone out into the world. Any such person is the deceiver and the Antichrist. Watch out that you do not lose what we have worked for, but that you may be rewarded fully. Anyone who runs ahead and does not continue in the teaching of Christ does not have God. Whoever continues in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not take them into your house or welcome them. Anyone who welcomes them shares in their wicked work. I have much to write to you, but I do not want to use paper and ink. Instead, I hope to visit you and talk with you face to face, so that our joy may be complete. The children of your sister, who is chosen by God, send their greetings.
Good morning. Good morning. It's great to be with you and to speak on this short letter, 2 John, today. My name's Sam, if we haven't met before, and I work here for the church as a trainee pastor. Shall I pray? And then we'll dive in. Father God, thank you that you don't leave us in the dark about who you are and about how we are to be as your people. Thank you, Lord, that you've given us the scriptures, the Bible. Thank you, Lord, for your spirit that brought co-authored them and is here with us now. And Lord, would you speak to us today? Would we not go away the same? Would you change us? And would we respond to you in obedience and faith today? Amen. Amen. By the way, I did work an ice cream van. If you're ever in the North Devon area, look out for White Hocking's vans. They're very good. That's for free today, so there you go. Question, who do you listen to? I'm not just thinking about the music you like to tune into, or your favourite radio host, or your podcasts, but who do you listen to trust and to follow? This last year has shown us, interestingly, through the COVID pandemic, that we have to listen to scientists. If we get like a slide with a graph and they say, next slide please, we're on board, right? We listen to the scientists, it seems, above the sort of leaders and politicians. They are judged whether they have listened to the science, right? And are either praised or put down because of that. Listen to the science has been the message. But I ask, what about the rest of life where a graph doesn't quite cut it? Who do we trust about who we are? What might bring us meaning or joy or hope? Who do we trust? Who do we listen to? And it's a question raised here in 2 John. Who do we listen to? Who can we trust about the truth about who Jesus is? The truth of the Bible, how we can be saved and know God. And it's the reason it seems that John, the elder, we're taking that as John in verse 1, wrote this letter to the lady who is talking about a local church and her children, the sort of members. So it's John, elder later on, writing this letter to a church. If you want to chat to me about why I think that, you're welcome to. We don't really have time today. Slash, you might not be interested, so that's fine. Anyway, should we carry on? The question is real, right? Back then, who do they listen to? Who can they trust? And it's true for us on the ground today. Perhaps now we have more voices we can listen to on more topics than we've ever had access to. Who can we trust? Who do we listen to? And to do this, we're going to work slightly backwards. So we're going to start in verse 7 to 11, so we get a feel for what's going on in the church, what's going on in the grounds. And then we're going to come back to verse 1 to 6, this call to walk in truth and love. I know that's backwards, and generally it's good to work forwards, but I find it helpful to get my thinking straight, so hopefully that might come across too. So first question then, verse 7, what is the context? What's going on when John writes this letter? What should we read, verse 7? I say this, so that's verse 1 to 6, what is just written, because many deceivers who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh have gone out into the world. Any such person is the deceiver and the antichrist. So the situation on the ground for this church is that people have left perhaps either their church or other churches in the area, and they're deceivers. They've changed the message. They say that Jesus hasn't come in the flesh. He wasn't truly human. And they're out there deceiving. It's almost as if they're going to turn up at any point on their doorstep and they need to be ready. What are they going to do? And John writes into this case. And by the way, it might seem a bit of a technicality to you. Whether Jesus was in the flesh or not, does that matter? Well, what's at stake is massive. Because actually, as we thought about Easter, only a physical Jesus could die on the cross and rise again. Only a physical Jesus could achieve redemption for us, dying in our place. So what's at stake here is the whole package. It's not just a technicality we think, who really cares? But no, the whole salvation package is at stake, which is why John cares. And he writes to them. And he gives two warnings, which we're going to think about. So two warnings that he gives in verses 8 to 11. First warning, warning one, watch out for their teaching. Watch out for their teaching. Do you see that in verse 8? Watch out that you don't lose what you've worked for, that you may be rewarded fully. That's their acceptance of faith into Christ and their living for him, and that reward of being with him in eternal life, heaven. Watch out you don't lose that. Why? Verse 9, because anyone who runs ahead and does not continue in the teaching of Christ does not have God's. Whereas whoever continues in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. John says there's these deceivers out there. Watch out for their teaching. They've run ahead. It's a new message about Jesus. And it's almost sarcastic, I think. They claim they've got these forward, these new, these advanced views. But the irony, they ran so far ahead, well, they left God behind. On the other hand, whoever continues in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. Watch out. Watch out for their teaching. Warning number two, don't welcome the teachers. Watch out for their teaching. Now don't welcome the teachers. Well, I know as lockdown lifts, or in some sense tomorrow, people are excited they might get to go away to a caravan or a B&B or a cottage. Well, in these days, when Christians were on the road and when they were traveling, you didn't stay at the local inn. It didn't have a great reputation. So what you would do would stay with some other Christians in the town or the village or the city, wherever you turned up. And staying with them was an acceptance in the community. It was they're in our home. They're with me. We're vouching for them. Whereas here we read verse 10, and perhaps it seems shocking. For Christians that John might seem has been going on about, it should be known for their love. What does he say? If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, don't take them into your house or welcome them. Anyone who welcomes them shares in their wicked work. Here we have our so-called apostle of love. And he's saying, shut the door. Send them away. Don't welcome them. Well, how is he saying that? What's going on? Well, a couple of things to grasp that I find helpful. First, he's talking about the teachers. Did you see that? It's not just anyone who might believe in their message, don't believe. He's specifically talking about the teachers, those that bring this teaching. And it's not just teaching about the colour of the carpets we could have in the church or the sort of chairs and the layout or, you know, stupid stuff like that. No, it's the incarnation. It's Jesus coming in the flesh, dying for our sins so we can be made right with God. It's important. So don't welcome these teachers. Protect the truth. And second thing, this idea of a house, it's quite hard to know. Is this chatting about like a house, like our houses, or the church? Because the church would have met in a house, and he's writing to the church. So it seems likely that they could be talking about the church. But either way, the principle still applies. Welcoming people into your house or into the church still would have been saying, I'm with them. I'm blessing them. Verse 11, I'm sharing in their work. So it's not just like coming for a quick brew and a rich tea and I'll send you on your way, like we might do today. No, it's a welcoming. It's encouraged. Don't do that. Don't encourage. Don't sigh. Don't support this teaching they're teaching. Instead, hold on to the truth. So why is John writing this letter? Well, he's writing to this church to say there's these false teachers out there. They're going to turn up. They're going to be around you. You're going to hear their voice. Watch out for their teaching. And don't welcome the teachers into your community. So you might think, well, that's all good and nice, Sam, to learn. Well, so what? What does that mean for us today? Well, first we've got to think, well, where is this overtly happening? Where are those teaching in the name of Jesus, but deny, deceive, claim that he didn't come in the flesh, or that he wasn't fully God, or that he didn't fully die for our sins? And I suppose what comes to mind might be groups like the Mormons or Jehovah's Witnesses, who don't claim that Jesus was Trinitarian or fully God. So we say, watch out. Watch out for their teaching. I don't think this means that, you know, they come knocking on their door and you want to have a chat with them, so you invite them in for a chat in COVID secure ways, that you can't. I don't think that necessarily means that. But perhaps we would say if you were a young Christian or you might be easily led astray, that might not be wise. But we're not going to invite them to preach. We're not going to partner with them as a church. We're not going to bring that teaching into the house of faith. We're not going to welcome and share in their work in that way. We watch out by protecting the truth. When I used to work, as some of you know, with UCCF, with Christian Unions, we would often invite speakers to come in to speak, and we would ask them to sign up to a doctrinal basis, similar to the one that we have as a church. And I remember a story of a 19-year-old student with their doctrinal basis in hand approaching an elderly John Stott, who was a very famous theologian and writer and speaker, and asking him to come and sign this doctrinal basis so that he would be allowed to come speak at SCU. And it's wonderful, his response. He said, I will never grow tired of signing up to such truth. We guard the doctrine, the teaching, the membership through signing up to what we declare to be true about Jesus Christ. We protect. That's the more overt ways, but what about more covert, subtle ways, which I imagine is probably more the reality for many of us? Well, let me give a couple of areas that I've been reflecting on. First, how do we watch out? We watch out by not just doing online churches. I'm not saying that if you don't feel safe about coming and you're just accessing our church online, I'm not speaking to you. But at the moment, it can be tempting to see church as basically an online world buffet, right? Everything is out there that we could ever imagine, from styles of music to preaching to whatever. So we'll pick and choose the bits that we most like. And that's how I'll do church on a Sunday. It's tempting, but I think John would say, don't do it. Watch out. I'm not saying don't engage with preachers or sermon or music from different places. But watch out. Do it with your Bible open and your brain engaged. Because it's so easy to be drawn in by well-made, high-tech videos or services with flashy graphics, but that aren't proclaiming this Christ, this apostolic gospel of Jesus, who is God and come in the flesh. Guard your hearts and the truth. The wonderful thing about a local church is that the teachers, the preachers, the leaders, they know you. They pray for you. They pray that you might be guarded. So we commit to a local church. Be that if you're engaging online at the moment or in person. Don't just think that online is enough. Watch out. And second area, well, how do we engage with popular culture voices? Because I imagine in your average day, the voices that you're listening to is that of the radio host on your drive to work or in the morning in your shower, the pop band you like, is your favourite sitcom or TV drama when you get to sit down with a brew once the kids have gone to bed. And these voices are never neutral. It's easy to think, oh, I'm just going to switch off and just chill out in front of my favourite bit of Netflix or whatever. They're never neutral. They always are proclaiming a message. They're always proclaiming a way of viewing the world. And we are always affected. Voices always speak to us. Be that the message of general culture that you might watch or read or listen to, that Christianity is a bit outdated or even dangerous. Be it the rom-coms and sitcoms that say unless you're in an exciting relationship, that your life is worthless. Be it the social voices that say that Jesus can't know what he was talking about when he wrote part and spoke and we are part of the New Testament. Be it because of that views on heaven and hell or sexuality. Watch out, yet engage. Critique. Don't let these voices be the ones that tell you what is true and right and good. Come to God and his words. Psalm 119 verse 9 is a favorite one of mine. How can a young person, you could probably get rid of the word young, how can a young person or a person stay on the path of purity? By living according to your words. Watch out for the voices, the truths, the messages that you might be listening to. Truth matters. So what we listen to matters. Watch out and be on your guard. Well, they're the warnings he gives. Shall we come back to the encouragements to so that we might leave a bit more upbeat? So verse 1 to 6 then, the encouragement. Walk in truth and love together. Walk in truth and love together. John is writing to the church who he loves, we see in verse 1, in the truth. Not just him, but also all those who know the truth. There's this sharing, this fellowship in the truth. Love in the truth. Between those who know it and hold it. And it also goes the other way around. You see that verse 2? It's love because of the truth. They love one another because the truth about Jesus has changed them. This, the truth, is not just a my truth and your truth and we've kind of got our truth. But no, the truth about Jesus as opposed to what these deceivers are teaching. And perhaps you hear these words, love and truth, and we think they're these ramming horns. They're different teams or they're very black and white. Either we're the sort of people who are all about love and either we're the sort of people that are all about truth. Yet for John, they are utterly inseparable. The way he sought to protect the church by sort of guarding and protecting the truth is done in and out of love. You might hear the word truth and it just feels a bit cold or dusty or old or rigid and intolerant. Not truth about Jesus. Do you see that verse 3? What's this from Jesus? Grace, mercy and peace from God the Father and from Jesus Christ the Father's Son will be with us in truth and love. What you make of Jesus, what you declare to be true about him is massive. It's why John warns and protects the church. This truth about Jesus is the path to grace, God's free provision of salvation. This mercy, that we don't deserve it, but he gives it to us. And peace. Peace with God. The wonderful result of salvation. truth matters. It leads to life and knowing God's mercy and grace. And I suppose we need to ask now, what do you believe today about Jesus? Do you think this is truth, that he did come in the flesh? He was God, come and took on flesh to die for our salvation and forgiveness of sins. Is that what you declare to be true? If you do or not, do you see why it matters? Grace and mercy and peace on offer from God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to suggest for us as a church, truth which leads to love is massive, is important, isn't it? This truth we share together around who Jesus is. When we say a creed together with a brother or sister, or perhaps when we sing together truths about God, or we come and share the bread and wine together in communion, we're declaring we're one, that we are united around this truth of who Jesus is, the Messiah, the Son of God. We love one another in the truth and because of it. As a church, we're called to love one another, not because we like each other, thank God, not because we're compatible, not because we're similar, but because we share in this wonderful good news, this truth, that in Jesus there is grace, mercy, and peace with God. We love because of this truth. We walk in truth and love together. So can I ask you, do you know all that unites us? This truth that we share together, does that lead to love, to moving towards one another in the church? Because I don't know about you, but it's easier to think about our differences first. Perhaps our differences in age, or where we live, or the types of songs we like to sing, or our dress codes, or perhaps our background, or accent, or education, or our different theologies in some random and slightly more obscure areas. But friends, let's focus on our common faith, our common salvation, our common wonderful belief in the incarnation of Jesus Christ, who died for us and rose again. We love one another in the truth, and we keep walking in truth and love. Verse 4, we see he's addressing, he's given him joy that they're still walking in the truth. They're walking in it, they're sticking with it. They're following it. He calls them to think back to, this isn't a new command, but an old one, an original truth command that Jesus gave, that we might love God and love one another. And his command is that you walk in love. We keep walking in truth and love. I love David Attenborough nature documentaries. When I was a science teacher, that was my Friday afternoon sorted. Stick one of them on and draw an animal. Job's a good one. His voice is wonderful. He could just send me to sleep. The music and the imagery, the cinematography, it's just incredible. I love it. And I was reminded as I was writing this of a clip that's filmed in northern Canada. It's a snowy scene, and there's a pack of wolves that are on a hunt for this group of bison. Bison are big, you know, with the things, the horns, big animals. And what happens? Well, the wolves come as the pack, and they're looking to pick off the little one, the young one, the weak one. And what do the bison do? Well, they huddle together in their sort of noises, and they stand strong by being together. Perhaps the big guys with the big tusks would be on the outside looking all threatening, and they would stay together. The wolves come, and they're hurrying, and they're trying to get off them to panic, to pick off the young. And you see it in the film as they're harried, as they're under attack. Tragically, the bison just start thinking about themselves. Is every man for themselves? We've got to get away from the wolves. And the youngest and weakest gets left behind and gets picked off. Church, wolves are around. Deceivers are real. Culture preaches so obviously against the wisdom and message of Christ. What is our call? To stand together. to stand strong together, to walk together in truth and love. Love for one another in the truth and because of the truth. So what do? We speak the truth in love if we see someone walking away, or we see someone vulnerable. The call to love, to move towards sacrificially and call them back in. Perhaps if we see this wolf circling to attack, be it a particular temptation or a lie that's being put out there, or a particular strong voice that might lead someone astray. We shout, we look out, or we harry round. We stay together. We walk together in truth and love. Because life is too precious. The gospel is just too important. Heaven and hell are just too real just to look in and care for ourselves. Just to think about me and it'll be okay. And not to seek the welfare of one another, the church who Christ died for. So the call to walk in truth and love is proactive. It's sacrificial. It's a Jesus-type way, who wonderfully first loved and died for us. Church, there's many, many deceivers. There's many voices you could listen to and seek to follow. Jesus is greater. He is the best. He is the truest. The life he offers is better. Following him is wonderfully following one who loves us and whose voice is truth. He's the best voice we could listen to. So listen to him. And as we do, we stand together. We love one another in the truth and because of the truth. Walking in truth and love. We're watching out for teaching or teachers who might lead us away. Because in Jesus, and Jesus alone, he is the one who is the way, the truth, and the life. Amen? So let's just take a moment to pause and reflect on perhaps some of those voices you have been listening to, or ways we might be tempted to be led astray. Then I'm going to pray, and then in a moment I'm going to invite us to stand and say together the words of the Apostles' Creed as a way of reflecting our unity in the truth. So let's just take a moment to pause. Father, we're sorry for ways that we have been led astray from you. Help us to hold firm to your ways, your truth, the truth about Jesus and the life he offers. And Father, help us to be those that don't just do that for ourselves, but that look out and care for one another too, that we might stand together as your church in truth and love. Amen. Can I invite you to stand? The words of the Apostles' Creed are going to come up. My favourite creed, if I'm allowed a favourite creed, mostly because it's nice and short. And we're going to say together as a way of expressing our unity together and these wonderful truths. So shall we say together? I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Universal Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.